You guys excited for summer? Yeah. We have a whole different routine when it's summertime, don't we? Like, you still go to work and stuff, but teachers, your job changes a little bit, but stuff shifts. Sometimes you go on vacation. Sometimes your hours change a little bit or whatever, and you kind of get out of routines. I wrote about this in our newsletter this month, but I'll say it again here. Just because we get out of our routines, should we just stop being formed then by Jesus? So if part of our formation is praying, should we keep praying during the summer? Yes. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Tell your neighbor, that's a good idea. It's a good idea to keep being formed, keep praying, keep doing the things that form us into Christ-likenessness. What does it mean to be faithful? What does it mean to be faithful? Faithful. Say faithful. Faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? Yeah. Consistent. So God is faithful. God is faithful. So what does that mean that God is faithful? Right? He shows up for us. He's consistent in his character. He does what he says he's going to do. He's trustworthy. That's all baked into the idea of faithfulness, isn't it? Are you with me? Or are you sleeping already? Okay, is that good? He's reliable, right? Reliable. Faithful means reliable. If you're going to be faithful to your spouse, a faithful spouse, what are you being? You're being trustworthy. You're being reliable. You're always there. You're showing up. You're doing the things that you're supposed to do and not doing the things that you're not supposed to do. How about a faithful employee? All of the business owners bosses want to have faithful employees, don't they? Means that they show up for work, maybe even on time, right? Crazy thing these days. They're there. They do, like, you tell them to whatever, print that paper, and guess what? A little bit later, the paper's printed. They're faithful. You know what I mean? This is not rocket science, so I'm not being cryptic. This is, like, faithful just means you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. How many of you have ever had a faithful friend? Anyone ever had a faithful friend? Nobody. I am going to pray that you guys find some faithful friends. I feel like you guys are very much here today, but you're scared to answer. But I don't feel like I'm being scary today. We talked about humility and pride yesterday, and we're like, you need someone to tell you if you're, Jim, I can't see it. Am I being scary? I don't want to be scary today. I don't think so. Okay. Well, you could. I don't know. A faithful friend. Boy, talk about something that's a rare commodity, faithful friends. And we've been blessed with many of those faithful friends. Like, they're always there for you. They got your back, right? They go do dumb stuff with you, or maybe keep you from doing dumb stuff, or whichever, depending on what phase of life you're in. The older you get, the more dumb stuff you should do, probably, because you do too much of it when you're young, and you shouldn't do it then. But now you've got the money to bail yourself out of jail. Just thought I was going to leave that. I was just going to see if you were even going to laugh at that. See how entrenched in this you are. You guys really are. See if I can crack the seal on you guys this morning. Faithful. Say it again. Faithful. I'm going to show you a verse in the Bible because that's what we do here. Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Be faithful in prayer. That's like just, don't you love when the scripture just clear-cut commands? But sometimes the allure is you just read it really fast, and you're just like, ah, that's a great verse. And then you walk away, and then nothing ever happens. Faithfully, joyful in hope, patient in affliction. So when you're going through tough times, hang in there. I was going to actually quote this verse this morning when I was kind of sharing with you guys about being strong, because I thought of this. Man, if you're in affliction, be patient. Persevere in that, because God's with you. And as a punctuation to it, be faithful in prayer. So let me ask you guys this morning, are you guys being faithful in prayer? This is not a step on your toes, kind of a guilt thing. That's not it at all. It's a question. If you were to analyze your life, would you say that you're being faithful in prayer? If your answer is anything less than an enthusiastic yes, then my next question to you is, why not? Why are we not being faithful in prayer? And I think if we went around the room and just passed the mic, we'd be here until 4 o'clock, but we could just get lots of answers today. And why are you not faithful in prayer? I think maybe some of us would say, well, just, you know, I'm busy. You know, I got a lot of important things to do. Okay, well, so does God. Like, if we're gonna lay out, like, I'm just kind of being funny, but kind of being serious. If we're just going to tell God that we've got important things to do, that might work with your third grade teacher. It's not going to work with God, okay? He's going to tell you what really is. He's like, okay, I'm going to change your priorities then, and right? So faithful in prayer. Maybe we've been convinced that my prayers don't really matter. I don't know that when I pray that anything is going to happen. Maybe you've been sold a bill of goods that God just really doesn't move. Maybe, I don't know, maybe just no matter who prays, it just doesn't work. God just doesn't, or God just can't. And I'm just going to say that's just not scriptural at all. The Bible is very clear that we not only should pray, but that, remember, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Powerful and effective, right? Powerful and effective. Are you with me today? Okay, I feel like you're not, but I'm going to ignore that feeling. The prayer of a righteous man, a righteous person, is powerful and effective. What two things is it? Powerful and effective. So that means that your prayers have energy to them. They have a direct contact with the Lord, and He is powerful to carry through what you're praying about. They're powerful and effective. Pray. I mean, we've talked about that part of it already. Sometimes we just don't know how to pray. Like, we want to, but we'll pray, and I've heard that probably more than anything. I don't know. Help me, God. Give me a good day. Like, and that's kind of all. And maybe in the future we'll kind of help out with exactly how we can pray. We've went through the whole supplication and adoration and all those different things. Remember when Stan was up here, he was going to be in the fill-in for God. There's all these different ways that we can pray. And Linda is going to be quick to tell you, praying is just talking to God. So some of it is just taking a breath and going, all right, what would I talk to my friend about? What would I talk to my spouse about? Okay, I can talk to Jesus about those things. And that's good stuff. But being faithful in prayer is a command from the scripture. And I don't mean that as a heavy-handed beat you over the head kind of thing. I mean, you're invited into this walk with Jesus where you are going to keep showing up because Jesus is going to keep showing up. And you're going to keep doing this thing together every day. Say every day. Every day. All the time. Constantly. Continually praying. Continue to just talking to Jesus. Just developing that internal and external dialogue with the Lord. I want to continue to talk to the Lord. Continue to pray. Be faithful in prayer. I'm going to pray for you guys. I'm going to pray for one another. I'm going to pray for myself. I'm going to pray for our marriage. I'm going to pray for our finances. We're going to pray for our church. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for godliness. We're going to pray for the kingdom of God. We're going to pray for VBS this week. Amen? Amen. There, I got you on that one. All right. I can start with something I know you're already bought into. Okay, here we go. Faithful in prayer. Let me show another verse to you. How about this one? Devote yourselves to prayer. Devotion and faithfulness. Actually, if you look at that previous verse in other translations, some of the translations will say, devote yourself to prayer. So I could have had two verses that say, devote yourself to prayer, with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Devote yourself to prayer. I bet if we went around the room with what keeps you from devoting yourself to prayer, the answers would slim down, and it would really be a lot more about priority and taking time to do it. And that just feels icky, so we probably won't talk about that. But it's really true. We don't make it a priority in our life. Let's make it a priority because it's scripture, and it's God is challenging us, commanding us, and inviting us that our devotion should be pointed at something worth our devotion. And so let's point it at Jesus, because He's worthy. And we can sing "You are worthy" all we want, but then we also can step into that prayer time, and praise is part of that prayer time, but where we're just talking to the Lord, where we're asking Him things, where we're asking for things, where we're thanking Him for things. Devote yourself to prayer with a mind that's alert and a heart that's thankful. Amen? How many times, and it's good to pray with a heavy heart because that's where we want to go, but let's work on keeping our heart thankful as well, an alert mind and a thankful heart. I'm gonna give you the context of this verse. It's in with some other verses. Let me show you that. So devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Paul is saying this in Colossians. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That's why I'm here in chains, as he's in prison. Pray that I will do what? Pray that I'll proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Pray for Paul. Hold on a second. Look, just give me your attention. Like, you can fall asleep in just a minute. Just give me your attention for a second. This is Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. If there's ever a guy who was bold for Jesus, he's in prison for it right now, right? You know what he's praying for? What he's writing to the people for prayer for? Pray that I can preach the gospel clearly and that I won't be too scared. And you're like, wait a minute. This is the guy that's writing the Bible, is asking the people for prayer. If there was anyone that we'd be like, whoa, I wish I could be like Paul. You know what Paul was doing? He was asking for prayer. He was saying, my success in the kingdom of God hinges partially upon you guys doing what God's called you to do, to pray for me. This is a scriptural pattern here. Pray for me so that I can have success and do what the Lord wants me to do. Right? And that's what we need to be doing for one another. Your pastor needs your prayers. The people need the pastor's prayers. People over there need the prayers from the people over there. People over there need extra prayers. I'm just kidding. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to be praying for one another. So if by Friday, you're telling your spouse or the kid at next door, you're like, yeah, I've been thinking about Joey all week long. I just about every day I've been thinking about Joey. Like, that should be that. I'm just cluing you in. Pray for Joey then, or Frank, or whoever's on your mind. If the Lord keeps bringing someone, just pray for them. Lord, I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know. I know they got a big test this week, or they've been struggling with this, or just pray for them. Lord, help them. Be with them in this moment. Bring them, if you know anything about the situation, pray for that. Pray for whatever else you don't know that's going on. But God, you can be there in that moment. Help them. Help them to live out. Help them to, like today, we prayed for strength. Pray for one another this week. God, we prayed for strength. I know that so-and-so is going through a tough time. Give them strength. I know that I just feel like they've been on my heart this week. I'm going to pray, God, that they know you in a powerful way this week, that their feet are, like Pastor said, they're grounded on Jesus, that they're standing strong and they're standing firm, and that any lie that the devil is telling them is not going to have any effect on them. Wouldn't that be great if we were all doing that for one another all the time? Wouldn't that be cool? Well, it's going to be cool because you're going to do it. I believe in you. It's going to happen. God's telling, and I know that you guys are already doing that a lot. Here's another verse, Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. And pray in the Spirit on a few occasions. What now? All occasions. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. With what kind of prayers? All kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. And how often? Always keep praying for the Lord's people. Well, it seems like there's a theme here. It seems like the Word of God, there's support for you praying for you. All right, everyone, on the count of three, look at someone and say, you, right? One, two, three. You are supposed to be praying for you, right? That's what we're doing here. Paul says it again. Pray for me. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I'll fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. And he says it one more time. Pray that I might declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul's saying, pray for me. You guys, pray for them. Pray for one another. Pray for our nation. Like, and don't let that just be a Sunday morning. All right, that's a good stuff. No, let's do it. Let's really do it and see the kingdom of God move. Night and day, it says in 1 Thessalonians, night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. And that's a cool little concept, is that we need one another. Amen? Amen. Amen. We need one another. We need one another. You can't achieve the fullness that God has for you in your life when you're alone. The body of Christ, Christianity, by default, is a team sport. Yes. It's, when you're born again, it's not just something happened in your life, you're grafted into the vine. You're part of a family of God. He never it's this tension between personal responsibility, me walking out my walk with Jesus, and corporate commitment and life-giving relationships with one another. We need each other. We need each other. If we're going to survive, if we're going to thrive, if we're going to do well, we need each other. That's why we need to be in church. Like, and I'm not preaching at you because you're here this morning, but we need to be here because we need each other. And it's not just about, oh, you getting fed. It is. That's good. We need to grow. But other people need you to be here. You need to rub shoulders with people that are walking out their faith with the Lord. That's why we need to be walking out our faith with the Lord. That's why we need to be formed. That's why we need to be growing in the Lord. Because other people are here that aren't where you're at. And you might be ahead of them. And that's not a prideful thing. That's just a where you're at with the Lord. Or you might know something that they don't. Or you might have an experience that is going to be super helpful for them. You may have a resource for them. God may say, like, you need to invite them. You might need to give them a straw hat, because that's, I don't know. Well, you know what I mean? Something. But you're the conduit that God wants to use to bring them along in their journey of faith. We need each other. We need to pray for each other. And we need to live with each other. Live in community. You know what I mean? Do church together. That's what I'm trying to say. So, the second part of this is really interesting. I got a lot of this from Josh Howerton, and so it's plagiarized, and then I added some verses and kind of made it my own, but just to let you know. But this next section is, has anyone ever had a prayer that was not answered before? Some of you are very glad you had a prayer that was not answered. Yep, you're right. God, I was not supposed to marry that person, or yep, I was not supposed to have that job, or whatever. But sometimes, like, our hearts hurt because there's prayers that we want to see answered. And we've said this a number of times. You know, Jesus had multiple prayers that are not fully answered yet. He prayed, Lord, if it's possible for you to take this cup from me. He was sincere that he wanted to not. And yet, he also said, this is why I came. So he was having this tension of, I want to do this, but I don't want to do this. Like, this is why I'm here. Not my will, but yours. He prayed one of his last prayers before he left this earth. Father, I pray that they might be in unity. And sometimes the church is not in unity, right? And especially in the last 2,000 years, there's been seasons where, Jesus is not getting his prayer answered there in this moment, right? And there's other ones we could. He prayed for the blind guy, and it didn't work the first time. Like, it was answered, but like, he had to do it again. I see people walking around like fuzzy trees, you know. So he did it like. So it's all right. It's all right that our prayers don't get answered sometimes, but we want to do everything that we can to get them answered, right? Amen? Right? We want to pray in faith. We want to be bold, right? We want to see. Obviously, we're supposed to pray. So if we're going to pray, we want it to be effective. It's powerful, it's effective. It's powerful, it's effective. It's powerful, it's effective. All right. But sometimes it's not. Why? Why not? So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to give a diagnostic tool. Okay, this next bunch of these is not to feed your guilt or to beat you over the head or say you're doing everything wrong. It's a diagnostic tool, right? If I pull up my toolbox and we're going to find out, well, why is the motor ticking, right? Okay, we're gonna check this. Or why is it not starting? Well, does it get airflow? Does it have fuel, right? Does it have spark or whatever your engine is? Like, we're going to diagnose what's wrong. Find out what's wrong. So the reason your prayer is not answered may not be any one of these. There's 9 of them, but it might be a couple of these. And if it is, you got a place to start. You go, okay, it's a hopeful thing. You see what I'm saying? This is energizing, okay, I've got a place to start of maybe I can adjust this and see more of my prayers answered. So, unanswered prayers, sad face. I don't often put emojis in my lesson, but, you know, just because we're the digital generation here. Unanswered prayers. Why your prayers might not be answered. 1, you didn't pray right. That's true. Okay, so now the danger with any of these is to overdo them, and then you just get discouraged, okay? So now you're like, oh, Pastor, are you saying that I have to have the words exactly right? No, that's not what we're saying. But if I'm praying energetically, God, I pray that every one of us today on our way home gets to ride a dinosaur. It's probably not accurate, right? That's probably not. I pray that all those people over there would just die because I'm mad at them. That's probably not a good scriptural. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there's just blatant things that are just, there's just not going to be. I pray that every chair in here turns into a butterfly. God never answered my prayer. That's what I'm trying to say, is sometimes our prayers, they just don't really line up with God's heart for things. And it says in 1 John 5:14-15, it says, this is the confidence. Okay, hold on. Remember, powerful and effective. Pray bold prayers, right? Faith, right? And he's saying, we've got confidence here. This is a verse of confidence. It's like, all right, we're going to get some prayers answered. That if, you know, the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything, say anything, if we ask anything, oh, here's the clincher. Everyone stops at the anything, but here's the clincher. According to his will, something happens then. He hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. But the key is we have to pray according to his will. And that's why we need to be formed. We need to be in the word of God so that we know what the will of God is. The word of God is the will of God. It's the revealed will of God. So we want to pray according to the word. Does it match up with the word of God? Does it fit in that? If it does, then we got a hunch it's probably the will of God, especially if it's already revealed. God wants, what if we pray, God, this week at VBS, we want children to come to know the Lord. Do we feel like that's a prayer that would be according to his will? Why? Because we know from Scripture that God wants all people to be saved. We know that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, right? You can go to the word and see if what I'm praying for has some scriptural bearing. All right. So we just don't want to pray prayers that are just goofy and self-serving, but we want to pray according to his will. That's why be in the word, because then your prayers end up lining up more with God's heart and more of your prayers will get answered. And we want to see that. We want to see the kingdom of God move. All right, hang on to your seats. Here we go. Number two, cherishing sin in my life. Oh my, we don't like to talk about that. Do you know that cherishing sin in your life can affect your prayers? Look at this, Psalm 66. I cried out to him. Who's him? God. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But surely, God has surely listened, and he has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. That's what David is saying in Psalm 66. The danger with this is every one of you, has anyone ever sinned in the last year? All right, six of you. Okay, good. Not good. Don't do that anymore. The danger is, oh, I'm not even going to pray because I know I've sinned and God just, It's not the sin that you're sad about that is going to affect your prayer. It's the sin in your life that you're glad about that's going to affect your prayer. Do you understand that? It's not the sin that you're sad about that's going to affect your prayer life, because that's called repentance. God, I don't want to do this. I'm sorry that I messed up, right? It's not that sin that's going to affect your prayer. It's the sin that you're glad about and you're cherishing. That word cherish, we cherish our children and we cherish our spouses, right? We cherish those that we love. And when we cherish sin, like all of you guys are like, because you're in church, you're like, oh, Pastor, I don't cherish sin. Yeah, you do. Because we're human and we're good at deceiving ourselves and we're good tricksters. And that's why we need the body of Christ and the word of God and to be in church and to have someone put a mirror up in front of our face. And yesterday at our men's group, we talked about that. Having people, hey, I think you need to look at this, because we can't see it in our own lives sometimes. And everybody's happy to talk about the sin in someone else's life until you start talking about theirs. Oh, then Peter's going to get mad. Right? Johnny's going to bring out the 2x4. Boy, don't you be talking, you don't know me, right? So if you're cherishing sin, like if we got a pet sin, if we're guarding that, if we're rejoicing about that, honestly, we've got more problems than our prayers not getting answered, but that's a legit deal. David said, man, if I had cherished sin in my life, my prayers aren't going to reach the Lord. Because we read in the first verse that if we pray according to his will, All right. If I'm cherishing sin, then I'm not living according to his will. Are we clear on that? And so the way that one of the quickest ways to get prayers answered, one of the sure ways to get prayers answered is to pray according to God's will. And if I'm living a life outside of God's will, it's not that God won't ever hear me, but don't think that the prayers that I'm praying on a regular basis are going to get answered because I'm not living according to his will. So I don't want to just kind of beat a dead horse here, but it's just really important that we live sanctified and holy lives. Not so that we look at people and say we're more holy than thou. It's because we want to see God be effective. And this world is broken, guys. This world is suffering the ravages of the enemy. And I feel like, especially now these days, not so much in this church, but like if you talk about sin, it's just crazy. We've removed the concept of sin and we've added counseling and psychologists. And I'm not saying those are bad. I'm saying those are good. You should go to counselors. Like, that's a great thing. But we don't often think we have a sin problem. We just need some counseling. We also probably have a sin problem. Like, I'm digging a hole here. That's not what I mean. Don't read into this what I'm not saying. We love counselors. But if it comes at the expense of ignoring what the Word of God says in our life, you can't counsel your way out of a sinful life. That's what we're trying to say. That's what I got there. You just had to give me a minute. If I say enough things, eventually something's going to be right. So again, like, we love it. Hey, that's great, Pastor, for someone else, but don't talk about my stuff, right? Like, we could just start listing sins, and I could watch just across this whole place everyone start getting uncomfortable. No, because you guys are living well. You guys are doing well. But, like, just, like, don't do the stuff that the world is telling us is okay, right? And I'm not trying to be a fundamentalist, we'll beat you over the head here this morning, but I'm trying to give us the clearest on-road to having a great relationship with the Lord and seeing God answer our prayers. So can I be a helpful pastor this morning? Because I love you guys. And we want to see that, and like, I want to see that junk out of my own life. I don't want to cherish the things that the Lord hates. So if you're just walking around with it just regularly on a regular basis, and you've got jealousy or bitterness in your heart, or you just and you feel like you've got a right to that, you've got a sin issue. If you just are really excited about sleeping with someone that's not your wife or your husband, you've got a problem. God's not going to be hearing your prayers. If you're just guarding that, if you are getting wasted all the time and you just are, this is who I am, you've got that. There's an issue with that, and the Lord's not going to hear your prayers. If you constantly are just manipulating people because you're greedy, there's an issue with that. Like, we could just keep going on. This is one today that is just a spirit of the age. If you've got malice, and that's not a word that we really use much these days, but malice. I want intentional harm to come to someone else. And we do that with our words, and we're vindictive, and we're vicious. There's a sin problem in there, and there's going to be a ceiling to your prayers. They're not going to get through. Not because God isn't good, it's because his word is true, right? Are you okay? Yes. Okay. I feel like you're okay. Can we move to the next one? Everyone's like, please do. Please do. Oh, that's right. I forgot about these verses. Sorry. That was not a bait and switch. I forgot I had these in there. James 4:4 says, wow. I told you it was going to be all right, and then I hit you with one that's even worse. James says, you adulterous people. He's writing to the church. He said, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses, because that's the important thing. The Bible in James also says we all stumble in many ways. It's not saying, I had a moment of weakness and I lied to my, and you're repentant. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about choosing to be a friend of the world. You become an enemy of God. That means basing my life on the world systems and then just slapping a Christian label on myself. That's what that's talking about. Sure, let's just skip that one. You guys had enough of that. Doubt gets you in trouble, right? We want to have great faith. We want to believe and not doubt, because the Bible says in James 1:6, when you ask, you're going to ask, you must do what? Believe and not what? Doubt. Don't doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. He's saying, there's an expectation of God answering our prayers because we're praying in faith. But if we pray in doubt, then there shouldn't be an expectation of God answering our prayers. That's what he's saying. He's not saying you got to be perfect, but like lean into faith and cut off doubt. Don't give doubt any room in our hearts and our minds. Again, this is our diagnostics. These are not beat you over the head. Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24 says, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Amen. The next one, unforgiveness. The next verse, we read Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Verse 25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, maybe that was a Freudian slip, if you hold anything against everyone, because sometimes that's the spirit of the age, you're just going to be mad at everyone for a while. But if you're holding things against someone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Remember to read your scriptures, read the verses knowing that, number one, they're true, and number two, that the Lord has your benefit in mind. When you read hard things that make you want to just get mad and vomit and throw stones at the preacher or whatever, when you read those, just know God's looking out for you and he's got your best interest in mind. So if he's telling you something that's hard to hear, it's for your good because he loves you and he wants your lives to be thriving. The next one, you have wrong motives. This kind of steps on our toes. James 4, 2 and 3 says, yeah, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Number one, if you're going to pray, you got to pray, right? That's kind of a 101. And even when you ask, you don't get it. God doesn't answer your prayer because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. And it's not that we can't pray for things for ourselves, but boy, we better have a greater principle in mind. So as you're diagnosing this, don't think that, oh, pastor said you shouldn't be praying for, I need money to pay my rent next week. Maybe I shouldn't pray for that. That's not what I'm saying at all. That's not what James is saying. He's saying that the desire of your heart is just for you. Remember, it's this walk with the Lord. Pray according to his will. And God already knows what you need. And so it's okay. Ask for those things. But then also be praying for other people. Be praying for the people who know the Lord. Be praying for people that are your enemies and you want to love them. And I just heard a story about that this morning, right? Good stuff. Ignoring hurting people. There's one that I bet you didn't think you were going to see up there. Ignoring hurting people. Look at this. This is really intriguing. Proverbs 21:13 says, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. Very interesting. Again, just a diagnostic tool. Again, not to beat you over the head. No guilt trips here this morning. Just you're like, I just pray all the time and it never happens. I don't know. Let's use the diagnostics. Are you a hoarder or are you generous? Have you ever helped anyone? Well, the one time I gave a nickel to the one. Hey, well, maybe give two nickels. I don't know. I'm just saying. Again, we're not beating anyone over the head. These are just verses from the Word of God, principles, and some stuff that's come from Josh Auerton. Being a bad husband. Well, let's just go to the Bible. Let's just see what the Bible has to say about this, ladies. You cannot weaponize this verse, okay? 1 Peter 3:7. Wives, close your eyes and ears. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as long as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she's your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should. Treat her as you should. So this is in the Bible. It really is. It's not that often. People claim that Christianity is misogynistic and it's, you know, like Christianity has done more historically for the elevation of women and women's rights. Like Christianity, anyways, we won't get into that. But if you have that view, don't read this verse because it won't fit your narrative. This is painful for the guys to read. Treat her as you should so that your prayers won't be hindered. All right, dudes, if you're wondering why your prayers aren't getting answered, here's a good diagnostic tool for you. And maybe don't ask yourself if you're treating your wife well. Maybe ask your wife. Let's go to the next one. Oh, man, it doesn't get any better. The last one's good. I promise. The last one's really good. You'll like that one. Oh, man, pride. All right, raise your hand if you're proud. Just kidding. Pride. Let's see. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility, it says in 1 Peter 5, toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor. This is written to the church. Guys, James is written to the church. God, we read God opposes the proud, and we're like, yeah, God's going to get those guys out there. This is written to the church, dudes, ladies, children, grandparents. God opposes the proud. It doesn't say anything about prayer in there. I get that. But let's just connect the dots this morning. If you're praying to the Lord to answer your prayer and God is opposing you, do you think that he's going to be answering your prayer? Okay, no, he's not. Because he's opposing you. He's not for you in that moment. Like, you're setting yourself against the Lord because you're choosing pride. Ugh. And as we learned yesterday, we don't often choose it. It shows up like dandelions, right? We gotta go after those things. Unless you're in favor of dandelions, which some of you are, and that's good. Then those of us will pick a different weed. Marnie said thistles have plagued her garden this year. So instead of dandelions, we'll say thistles, because pride would be much more like a thistle. Last one. This is the last one. You guys stayed with me pretty good today. Thanks for coming along on the ride. Sometimes your prayers don't get answered because God has something better for you. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And aren't we glad for that, church? Right? We pray like God's going to answer it, but sometimes the answer is no, because, dude, he's got something better for you. How about this? Last verse. We're done for the day. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Guys, God is for you. Your prayers, if you are in Christ, are powerful and they're effective. And if they're not getting answered, one of the ways you can do is just run through this diagnostic tool. And there's even others beyond this, but we didn't want to go all day. But like, okay, is there anything that could be true out of these 9 things in my life? If there is, God, I want help with that. And let's change that. All right, God, help me to change this or move on this area or forgive over here or get sin out of my life or trust that your ways are higher than my ways and you know what you're talking about. But some, that's just a fun, maybe not fun. Fun's not the right word. That was not fun. Interesting way to just think through some thoughts about why prayers don't get answered, because the Bible does tell us, man, believe and you're going to receive, right? There's the answer is there. So if they're not getting answered, it could be one of those, or just God has something different for you. Let's just keep pressing in. So keep praying. Tell someone, keep praying. Keep praying. Yeah, let's pray. God, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for the people of God here. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to live out a life of holiness before you and for you and in you. Thank you for the prayers of your saints that are changing the world and people around them. I thank you for VBS that's coming up this week, Lord, that where lives are going to be impacted for the kingdom of God. We just thank you, Jesus, for your provision. We thank you for life and godliness. We thank you for the word of God that's guiding and guarding our life. And we pray for your presence in our lives today. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen.